Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
I want to speak this morning on it being the time for God's power. It's time for God's power. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, if you turn in your Bibles to that scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 1. When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess and drives out before you many nations, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, seven nations larger and stronger than you, when the Lord God has delivered you, them over to you and you've defeated them, then you must destroy them totally. Right, that's all I want to read from Deuteronomy. It's a scripture that I was meditating on actually last week. And I was praying for discernment, for fresh insight into really how to bring this area under the dominion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to bring situations and circumstances under his rule. And we know that the land has already been given to us, don't we? And that Jesus sends us out into the world to liberate people from the bondage of sin and from the power of Satan. So we're not here to possess people in that wrong sense of domination. But we are here to evict the enemy from people's lives and from their circumstances, and to actually see an advance of the kingdom of heaven, which essentially means the devil's kingdom is being pushed out. And so I was praying for fresh discernment, saying, Lord, these ites, these Hittites, Girgashites, and all of them, and the Jebusites, I want fresh revelation so that I have discernment, which is a spiritual gift, to see as God sees, as to what the enemy is trying to do and how to defeat the enemy. And the Lord has given me fresh revelation, which is what I want to bring to you today. But before that, I want to lay a platform of truth so that we all understand the same things together. It says in this verse that the enemy is larger and stronger than you. Now, we know that in Christ, he isn't larger and stronger. We're larger and stronger than him. But we need to understand that without God, no person is stronger than the devil. There is no person walking on the earth today who is stronger than the enemy. We know that Satan, Jesus said, is a murderer. And Jesus also called him a liar. Now, we treat lies very lightly in the Western culture. We shouldn't treat lies lightly in the church. But in the Western world, lies are treated very lightly. But actually, Jesus said the father or the one who started that lie is the devil. And so Satan is a murderer. He comes to steal, to kill, to make life misery for people, to torment people. And he is also said to be, in the word of God, the deceiver of nations. That means deception is very powerful to hold people under Satan's power. So deception is part of the arsenal or the armory of the devil. It's one of his greatest weapons that he uses in people's lives. And deception is actually from the father of lies, where lies are spoken and people believe a lie. Deception is so dangerous because when we are deceived, we think we're right because we believe a lie. And believing a lie empowers Satan in our lives. We give power to Satan when we believe a lie. Now, the human mind does not have power without God to fight Satan. You cannot beat Satan with your own thinking. Your thinking has to be filled with God's thoughts or God's word to win. So in other words, you need to be on God's side when you are out to drive out the devil out of people and out of circumstances, and also to get rid of the enemy bothering you. And so Satan is a very real person. We can't see him. He's a spirit. And scripture speaks about this kind of hierarchy where Satan is the leader. And there are powers and principalities of darkness. There are forces of wickedness that rule over whole geographical areas, over whole nations. And also demons that actually possess some people on the earth and end up being used by Satan to accomplish Satan's will. So we understand that the enemy is very real, even though we can't see him. And the Bible makes it very clear, especially through Jesus' ministry, of how real the enemy was in afflicting people with sickness, tormenting people, and actually causing a lot of awful trouble in people's lives. Now, Jesus is the direct opposite to everything Satan is. Jesus is the truth. And so, just as we've said, deception is powerful, believing a lie is powerful, truth is more powerful than a lie. Truth beats lies every time. Truth is a powerful force because Jesus said, I am the truth. He was speaking of himself. And he also said, my word is truth. And Jesus is the word of God through which everything has been created. And that would include the fallen spirit world. God didn't create evil, he created only good. But Satan fell because of rebellion against God. And now he is fallen and evil. His nature is evil. His character is evil. His works are evil. There is nothing good at all about our enemy. And he is really our enemy and the enemy of every person walking in the world today. So Jesus, he is the truth. And he said, you are my disciples. You're my followers when you know the truth. And you walk in my word. You will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. If you continue in my word. If you. So Jesus is speaking to his followers. If you carry on continuing, believing, thinking according to my word, you will live a glorious life of freedom. But if you believe a lie, the enemy can get a foothold in your life and begin to operate out of things that actually almost we give him permission to, because we're free to believe and choose what we believe. You have free will to choose to believe God's word or to believe a lie. And praise God, you believe the truth enough to get saved and born again and taken out of the power of darkness. You've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and you've been placed into the kingdom of the Son of his love. You are no longer under the bondage of Satan, no longer under sin. You are in Christ and Christ is in you. Thank you, Jesus. If the Son sets you free, you are partially free, three-quarters free, 98% free. What does the Word say? If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. So it's a double emphasis. Jesus is teaching there, a double emphasis. You're totally, radically, completely free. Thank you, Jesus. That's the truth. Believing that sets you free to walk in the power of truth. Now, turning to 1 John, not John's Gospel, but towards the end of your Bible, 1 John chapter 3. It's time for the power of God to be manifest. It's time for the devil to be driven out. He's out of us because we're in Christ. But to be driven out of people's lives and circumstances, the people we're reaching. 1 John 3, verse 8. Part is halfway through that. It says, the reason the Son of God appeared, that's Jesus, the reason he appeared was to destroy the devil's work. As you heard in the prayer meeting earlier, Jesus is the absolute conqueror. He has absolutely defeated Satan. And he always leads his people into victory. He never teaches you through defeat. If he always leads us in victory, we shouldn't learn. We don't learn our lessons from the devil. Jesus teaches us through his word, not through the devil. We can take ourselves out from under the protection of God through rebellion. But when we're living in unity with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, doing what Jesus says, God never uses the devil. But when we take ourselves out, the devil actually does mess us up. Yeah? So we have free will again to choose how we live. But I think the wise choice is to live in victory in Christ. So Jesus was manifest, he came, he was revealed to destroy the works of the devil. And I don't know if you remember that story when there were these two demonized men, and they were so violent in Matthew's Gospel. They were so violent that people didn't even want to go that way. So they scared everybody, including the guy who works out at the gym all week and is a bouncer down the local nightclub. They just didn't want to go by because these men were supernaturally empowered by the devil. Remember, a human being without God cannot defeat the devil. And so Jesus arrives. And what's interesting, if you read that story, is that they recognized his rank without him telling them who he was. So they recognized his authority before he even opened his mouth. Because in the spirit world, demons see we're in Christ and we are now outranking the devil. You outrank the devil in Christ. And so they recognize and they said to Jesus, what have you got to do with us? Are you sent to torture us before the appointed time? So the devil knows he's going to be tortured for all eternity. He knows the end. And we want nobody to go with him. We're here to rescue this generation from that end. Hell is real. Torment is real. Heaven is real. Glory is real. The best is yet to come, guys. And so the demons in these two men recognized the Son of God. I don't know where you work, where you go, but the spirit world knows who you are in Christ, that you are a son of God through faith in Jesus. And you know, Romans 8, just turn there. Stick with me, we're going to actually have a word establishing, and then in the end, ministry victory. Romans 8, verse 19. All creation is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. So we read in 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God was manifest was to destroy the works of the devil. All of creation is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed or to be manifest or to be expressed, to be seen to be who you are. So there are people waiting for you to show up in your real nature and to deal and destroy the devil's works in their life. It's brilliant that. So the world's waiting for us because they can't free themselves. And we free them by preaching the good news, bringing the kingdom, which is always with power. Say power. So you're never to preach without signs. Signs and good news go together. It's never one without the other in Jesus' mind. Which is why last weekend, Dan, one of the fly kids, who prayed for his friend to be healed, and the mum, who's not saved, says, "Who are you that my son got healed?" That's normal for a son of God. That is normal for you. And it's time you were manifest. It's your coming out party. In truth. Thank you, Jesus. You remember when Jesus, the disciples were in a situation where there was a lot of storms and they were on a boat and the boat was filling with water and it was, oh no, we're perishing, we're going down, everything's looking awful. And they were the normal kind of glass half empty Christians. Followers of Jesus, so, oh no, it's all gonna finish. It's going to be awful. Everything's going to go wrong. And Jesus woke up and spoke to the wind and the waves and he rebuked them. He said, "Peace, be still." And everything stopped. You see, Jesus didn't actually come to fight. He came to rule. We're not here to fight. We're here to rule. Oh, you know, you've got to struggle a lot to get a victory as a Christian. It's going to be real hard work. You're going to have to fight in the trenches for 3 weeks before you see a glimmer of hope. You have authority now over all the power of the enemy. Now. Thank you, Jesus. So Jesus actually said to these disciples who were going glass half empty, everything's going wrong, we're dying. Where is your faith? He said. So what's he actually saying? He said, what are you believing about yourself in this circumstance? What do you believe in this time? Not, he didn't say, how do you feel now? Come. Let's sit in the corner of the boat, just you and me. Let's have a huggy-huggy. Lovely time. It's all right, it's all right. Don't worry. I'll always get you through. He said, where is your faith? What are you believing about yourself? So what's he saying? I want you to act like I act. I want you to do what I do. I want you to see the same works in your life as I did, and greater still. You see, they were believing a lie. They were believing the circumstances were more powerful than believing that God was with them and they could deal with it. And so their faith, their expectation began to be in a downward spiral. But Jesus wants us to believe the truth. Now, what is the truth about you? Because we cannot take on the devil unless we believe the truth. Because you won't win believing you're a nice person. You only win when you believe what God says. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, turn there please. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He's given us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Well, you know, the Word of God says He's given us everything we need to win. He's given us absolutely everything we need to win. And His divine nature in us has given us everything we need. Now, you have to realize that your nature is to be like God now. It's not your nature to be like what you used to be. Because the old you died. When you came to Christ, you were identified in the cross. You've been crucified with Christ. You no longer live, but Christ lives in you. And the life you now live, you live by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave Himself for you. So you now live a life of faith that you have a divine nature. Christ in you. What difference does this make to everyday life? Well, every kind of difference. Because you are created, born again, you're God's offspring. If you think about it like that, you're God's offspring. So God sees you and He says, I made you. In Christ, you have my DNA. You've got my nature in you. And so that nature, the sons of God, need to be manifest. We need to be walking like God, thinking like God, speaking like God, and acting like God. That is your nature. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the enemy lies to us that it's not really us, because at times we don't feel very much like we have the divine nature. Has anybody ever not felt quite like a son of God today? And maybe you have somebody in your family who constantly reminds you that you're definitely not behaving like a son of God. But the truth that you believe is the truth that you will see happen. See, everything about the Christian life is summed up in this word, believe. What do you believe about yourself? If you believe your feelings, you believe your experience or what people say, then you are believing a lie. And what does believing a lie do? It empowers the enemy. But believing the truth that you have Christ in you, You are a son of God, significant and valued to God, sets you free to see the power of the kingdom come. Now, this is, of course, everything that God does is always under his authority. When people are living, Christians are living in rebellion to God, then they open the door to the enemy, and they don't see the power and the authority in their own lives. Just like the centurion, when he came to Jesus, he said he understood authority. He understood that Jesus was superior to him, and that he actually had the authority to heal his servant at home, and all he had to do was speak a word and his servant would be healed. And he said, I understand authority. I'm a man under authority. I understand submission, because the words I say to my 100 men who are under me, they obey them. But when somebody is above me, I obey them. And so there's an order in authority and in the power that you use. You have all the power in Jesus' name, but it really only works in reality when you are in submission to God and in submission to God's order. Can I just give an example of this? You know, you might be having hassle at work, and maybe something's going wrong in the workplace. And you're kind of rebuking the devil, running around and just, you know, using all your weapons and getting the whole faith group to pray and praying in tongues for 5 hours. And yet you are not listening to your boss and you're disobeying him and criticizing him behind the back. It's called rebellion. And therefore you actually don't have authority in that place to rule. Because authority comes out of understanding, actually, if they're my boss, I'm here to work under them. The Word of God says obey all authorities, governments, bosses, masters, church leaders. It's all part of God's way of seeing the power released through your life. And Jesus was the greatest example of submission. And so we understand that there is absolute joy in submission. It's not a life of misery or control. It's a life of victory. He showed that there was greater joy in submitting to everything his Father said and never acting independently in his own will. And so we see the divine nature is in each one of us who are believers in Christ. We see that we have all that it takes to succeed in life. We see that the enemy operates in lies, but God wants us to constantly walk in truth so that we will walk in freedom. But we also see there is a significant part for us to play, living out our lives in obedience to what God says and living under the order of God in our lives together. Is that good? Because it's going to set us up for a victory time later. If you don't understand this, then you're kind of fighting a losing battle. And you are actually here to fight a winning battle, or to bring the rule of God and win over the enemy. So Satan's plan is that you believe lies. God's plan is you believe the truth. And in believing the truth, you will see the victory. Now, obviously, the enemy's plan is very subtle, because he actually doesn't want you to reveal who you are to this generation. He doesn't want you to act like a son of God at work. He doesn't want you to heal your friends. He doesn't want you to preach the gospel. He doesn't want you to see signs and wonders. He does not want you to rule over him. And so what he'll try and do is stop you through deception, primarily through you believing what you feel or believing what didn't happen last time you tried it, instead of just accepting that Jesus says this, so I'm going to act on what God says. Now, turn with me to 1 Samuel, because this is where we're really going today to see victory. It's hot up here. I should never have worn this. I was asking God for discernment about these Hittites, Jebusites, Hivites, Canaanites, and understanding that, you know, the basis of everything that we believe is truth and the victory that God wants us to win. And every one of us here today and those who will listen online, that every one of us see the power of the kingdom of heaven advancing in the same way Jesus did. And I came into some understanding about one spirit that seeks to push sons of God back into recluse behavior, reclusive kind of living. Rather than manifesting who we are, the enemy works to push sons of God down. That's his plan. And I had a study on the meaning of Jebusite. And the Jebusites in the history of Israel possessed the land where God had given them the land. And so they were kind of unlawful people. They shouldn't have been there because God had given the land to Israel. And understand that our battle is not against people, it's always against principalities and powers. So we don't fight people, we fight the powers that the enemy uses through people sometimes to establish his will. And this Jebusite spirit is what I'm going to call it, a spirit, a demon, an evil power. In the Hebrew, Jebusite means to tread down and stomp on people. Do you think that's interesting? Jebusite spirit. To tread down, to stomp on people, to push down, and to belittle, to make small and insignificant. We've all, I think, experienced a bit of a stomping from the enemy, where he has, through sometimes people or our own families or through a mindset or a thought that comes into our head to make us feel less than. I don't know if this is speaking to anybody. Is this? Because I really believe this is what the Spirit wants to say this morning. The Jebusite spirit, to tread you down and to tread people down. When Jesus saw the multitudes, he said, they're oppressed, they're harassed, they're pushed down, they're beaten up. And this spirit works to do this in reality in people's lives. And he also comes against Christians to actually push down and to stomp on them so that they don't feel enough for a situation. Basically, the enemy communicates, you are a nobody. Has anybody ever heard that one? You're nothing and you're a nobody. Well, God has never said that. You are significant. And if you believe you're a nobody, then you're empowering the enemy in your life. You're not a nobody. You're a son of God. Thank you, Jesus. So, if he can get us to be pushed down, demoralized, downcast, less than mentality, I can't, then actually he can stop the real you sorting him. Because he's the problem, not you. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the devil uses people, whether it can be in an office situation. Have you ever had somebody in an office situation that's always, I've experienced it, always telling you, just undermining you a little bit. Always making you feel like you're not quite good enough for the job. Anybody had a boss like that, or a work colleague like that, or a friend even? Can even find them sometimes in the church. The enemy uses people, and that's why we must be careful never to be used to pull people down. Jesus wants to lift people up. It can happen to people in such a way that they actually become incapable of winning, which of course is the enemy's plan. It can happen in families where a child in the family is always being told, oh, why are you always like that? Everybody else turned out good. What happened to you? I don't know what happened, but maybe, you're from another family. You just don't seem to fit. And everything is pushing down, treading down, and making somebody feel not quite enough. See, the devil speaks. He has power to speak. He's a spirit, but he speaks. You read of this in the Old Testament when Satan incited David to count his army. David had a thought. Ah, I think I'll count the army. Didn't recognize it was from the devil. So he set out a process that actually ended up in a lot of destruction for Israel. Because it all came from a thought that had its origin in Satan. And so Satan can speak. So sometimes the things you think are not from you, they're from him, the enemy. And so he speaks the thought, you can start to think, well, that's true. I need to do this, or I think that. And once you think it, you might feel it, because your mind and emotions are very connected. Think of a celebration, you get a bit happy. Think of something a tragic situation, you get a little bit down. Because your thinking affects your feelings. Is that right? That's why you're to think on things above, not on earthly things, so you stay happy. Your mind affects your joy life. This is good, yeah. I hope I'm not going kind of over you today. And then once you think something and feel it, you can even believe it from the enemy. Because you convince yourself that that must be right. Especially if you felt it and you're a woman, or you think it and you're a man. Because men, if I think it, it must be. Women, if I feel it, it must be. In Christ, we can believe and be set free. If I feel something, it must be right. Rubbish. Only the truth of God's word's right. If I think it, well, your brain is not God. Only the word of God is true. That's why we're to be living with a renewed mind. To allow the word to change your thinking patterns. So that you can think according to truth. So the key is when the enemy comes and says these things, and or through people, is that actually we understand the enemy is speaking through somebody, trying to tread me down and make me feel a nobody. And what do I do at that point? I am a son of God. And I need to rise up and deal with this spiritually. The first thing to do, if that person is really attacking you and making you feel terrible and nothing, is to forgive. You cannot operate in the spirit without forgiveness. You can't see the power of God without forgiveness. So when somebody is pushing you down, and it might be somebody in your family, in the office, might be in the home, it might be in the church, so I trust not. You're to say, I forgive them. Because that's the will of God for us. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, you know the story about Goliath coming against the army of God, the Israelites. And he was coming to take ground that belonged to Israel. And the enemy is always out to take your ground. He wants your freedom. He wants your kids. He wants your job. He wants your health. He wants your money. He wants your fruit. He is proactively against you. Just to give you a little bit of an edge on why we're talking like this morning. And so the enemy is coming in to take ground off God's people. And actually, it's supposed to be the other way around. And you know this big guy, 9 foot tall, Goliath, with huge, incredible bronze javelin slung on his back and a spear like a weaver's rod. I love the word of God. It's all descriptive there. Massive guy. His shield bearer ahead of him. I wonder how the shield bearer carried his shield. He was that big. And he stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel. And he basically gave them a bad day for 40 days. By saying, send somebody out. Choose a guy to fight me. And nobody, because they were assessing the issue naturally, nobody had the confidence to fight. And so Goliath saying, I'm bigger than any of you. And we read that at the beginning. In the natural, the enemy is bigger. It's true. But we are not natural. We're sons of God. And we're bigger and stronger than him. And he recognizes our rank. But the people of God who have a covenant with God are believing a lie. With God, they can do what David did and defeat Goliath. But everybody is believing they can't. And so Goliath comes out every morning and he makes them feel more and more humiliated. The Jebusite spirit is operating, stomping down, treading down. You're nothing. You're nobody. You've got nothing to win. And so the army come out every day, would run back into their tents, their knees quaking, saying, we definitely can't beat this guy. So along comes David. You see, whole churches can come under the influence of the Spirit. Not this one. And not you. Whole nations, the caste system in India. Racism is born out of this Spirit. Stomping people down. It's an evil spirit. It's a principality and power. And it's mind renewal that has to happen. Victory in the spirit and a people being trained to think that all men are equal under God. And so the whole army of Israel came under this influence. Apart from David, he comes up and Saul tries to fit him with his sword. You know the story. Saul says, well, if you're going to go out, mate, I think you better take something with you. How about a sword? You see, David had just come in, a delivery boy of a bit of food for his brothers. His brothers have a go at him because they stomp him down a bit. And then, but David, it's just like water off a duck's back. Because he's never got his confidence from his family. He never got his confidence from his position and role in life. His job didn't give him confidence. And so Saul tries to put his armor and his sword. David says, actually, there's only one sword I need, and that's the word of faith. With the word of faith, I can defeat anything. I've already proven that God is with me and he likes me to win. So David's got this kind of attitude. Everybody pushes him down, but it goes over him. The whole army, they're under it. David's like, no probs. I'm confident in God. I know I can't win this myself, but I know that with God, He loves me to win. In fact, if it's a right fight, which this is, I will definitely win. God does not want this situation. And so David says, no problem. God will back me because I'm doing His will. And he's confident. And so he believed God and he said, God is with me. He wants me to defeat the devil. And in verse 43, we're going to read 1 Samuel 17, verse 43. So David runs out to meet Goliath with his smooth stones from the stream and his sling. And in verse 41, meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. So the enemy kept going forward to get David. He looked David over. Imagine that. And he's saying, right, he was only a boy. You're only a boy. What are you doing here? Ruddy and handsome, which he noticed. He was a good-looking guy, which is nice. And he despised him. He actually mocked him. He basically downed him. Now, at that point, a lot of charismatic Christians would have gone for counseling. Pastor, I feel really bad about myself. Do you know what he said about me? But he had a shield of faith. He said, that's not who I am. I'm important to God. And I don't stand here in my own power. It's not because of my age, my family, my position, my ability in warfare. It's because I trust God. And so, you know, actually, if this happens in the office, people take out a law order against somebody. Do you know what the boss did to me? There's a spirit behind that. We must deal. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. We're not here to take a formal complaint out. We're here to evict the devil. We cannot behave like the world, who are always complaining about the boss, always complaining about a situation. We must use our spiritual weapons and say, no, in the name of Jesus, I am not having this working in my life. I will not be put down by the devil. Thank you, Jesus. So, Satan, well, Goliath, this is the enemy speaking through Goliath. Come here, he said, I'll give you flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. So basically, you know, I'm going to kill you. I mean, these are words that are very powerful if you hear a 9-foot guy telling you, I'm going to kill you. Yeah. I have experienced this kind of violent spirit through people and through, you know, somebody intimidating and then going for me. And if I had responded in the flesh, reacted in the same way, I would definitely have lost. But praise God, I took authority in the name of Jesus and bound that spirit. And they came, went as quiet as a lamb. Honestly, they became like, I don't know what happened, I'm so sorry. I said, no, it's all right, I know what happened. The devil was trying to use them to destroy me, and he can't. And God loves me to win. So David steps up and he said, in verse 45, David said, I want you to notice, first of all, he uses his mouth, because we are to say to the devil. We're to address the devil. He's not praying to God here. He is saying, you come against me with a sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. I come against you in the name of Jesus. All authority has been given to Jesus, and he has given us authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. And so he says, I come against you. And verse 46 says, I love what he, actually, just let's read the whole thing. Against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. In other words, you have brought the armies into defeat. And I'm not happy about that. See, when Jesus came, he was not happy with what the devil was doing. He said, no, I've come to liberate people from the power of Satan. I am not going to put up with tormented people walking past me. I'm going to set them free. So, verse 46, he says, this day the Lord will hand you over to me. What day? Which day? He's not a tomorrow Christian. A tomorrow Christian is a Christian in unbelief. A today Christian says, I believe, today your number is up. I am no longer going to be stomped on, treaded down and intimidated, made small and told I'm a nobody. I'm going to rise up in the name of Jesus and address this evil spirit and command that you flee from me. And I cut your head off. Cancel your power. His confidence and faith was in God. And also, he made a declaration of what he believed. Today, this Jebusite spirit is not going to bother your life anymore. I cancel that over us as a church in Jesus' name. And I'm also here, we are here to evict that spirit from people's lives so that they can be free and come to live in the power of Jesus and his kingdom. Don't be a victim. Be a victor. Don't let your feelings govern what you believe. Let the truth govern what you believe. Don't believe the lie that you can't, because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Don't believe that tomorrow is going to be the same. Believe that from today, that evil spirit against your life is going to flee. I believe God has brought us light today. Understanding of how to deal with that kind of pushing down spirit. And we now will come against that spirit. If you want to. I can't do it for you. But you can cancel the power of that spirit today and come against that spirit. Just like David. No, today I'm going to be delivered from this spirit. I'm not going to take on any negative thinking. No evil spirit is going to dominate my life. And I'm here to set captives free from this spirit and see the power of the kingdom advance. And me, I am a son of God. And I will manifest who I am and advance the kingdom. See, if you're under this spirit, like the armies of Israel, you're stuck in your tent doing nothing for God. If you walk out like David on the field and say, actually, we're here to rule. So in the name of Jesus, stop. Then we see victory. Amen. Let's stand together.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186, or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.